I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday, ready to do some podcasting. The official weapon of the show is...
Taser?
No.
Oh, no. Voting chill.
You had a good streak.
Damn, I had a good mop run.
Everybody reset the clock to zero.
Oh, shit.
The unofficial sport...
Bullet ball.
Extreme. First things first, do we have any banter?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, I do. Okay. So it was a trick question. I could have just went ahead and played the music.
This story consists of my recollections of a very unusual young man.
Watch me do.
All right, listen, this is a fast banter. First, I got a DMV appointment. I just logged on first thing in the morning, and apparently that's when they open up new appointments. It's booked out all the way for like 90 days, but you can go ahead and wake up early in the morning and go on there, and then like that day's appointments are available until they're taken up. So I got a DMV appointment, but it's not for a couple months, but I got that done.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Sometimes like the doctor's appointment, whatever, like, hey, you know what? In case anybody cancel, you can yank it up if you're out here early enough.
It didn't look like it was canceled. I think all of it's booked up until like 90 days from now. But every morning they must open up like, here's the days remaining in those 90 days. So if you need to book an appointment.
Okay, within 90 days.
Like okay. Whatever's available is 90 days out. So I won't be going till August.
I'm with you now.
All right. The next thing is my trainer at the gym has been encouraging me to document my progress and all this stuff, even if it's just for myself. And I don't know. I felt kind of weird and uncomfortable. I didn't want to just lean into all the stuff that is stereotypical. I don't know why. It's a mental hurdle. It has nothing to do with her. It has
nothing to do with y'all.
There's nothing wrong.
Nope.
There's nothing wrong with it. Other people do it all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know fucking why. In my head, I'm like, I don't want to be a basic bitch, you know, where I'm like, you know, guys, I'm doing my health journey. You know, I don't want to be that person or whatever. But that's bullshit because it's just a thing to stop you from doing stuff. It's like, not wearing gloves at the gym because my toxic masculinity male friends say they bitch gloves. Well, I've never given a fuck about any of that shit, so I'll be the bitch in your mind. I don't feel like I'm the bitch, but if you feel that way, fine. You know, see a bitch, come try me, you know? So I haven't documented my progress really at all. You know, I've always posted stuff on social media, you know, pictures of stuff or whatever, and I'm committed to everything. Like, I've never shortcut anything. I always do my exercise goals. I always make them. I always do my workouts. And I've been doing this now with a trainer since about February. So we're going on about 4 months. I think we're like 17, 16 weeks of this. Woo-hoo! And I've gotten a lot better at stuff. There's just stuff I can do where I don't know that my appearance has changed that much, to be honest, but it's stuff that I can do that I just couldn't do before. You know, I can do that plank now. I do the plank. I could put 25 pound weight on my back and do the plank.
Oh shit, now look at you.
Yeah. You know, just a bunch of goals like and stuff I could feel. But once again, I haven't really documented it, and I probably did it wrong because I should have taken pics before I even started to be like, this is where I'm at, even if it's just for me. But yesterday I did post like my first picture, which is just me flexing my arm to be like, oh, I can see something like a muscle in there a little bit.
Yes, because I can't form one.
Yeah, and my trainer had told me, you know, you should do that. She's like, you know, in addition to It, you know, motivating yourself, motivates other people and all this other stuff. And I've been like, I don't really give a fuck about other people, but you know, it's not in a negative way, but I don't want to turn this into a thing where I'm just seeking validation from other people. Cause that's never what it was about.
Right.
And once you start getting addicted to that validation from other people, then it's like, you know, what other shit are you going to do? Because, you know, there's a lot of shortcuts and stuff to look good for the gram. That's not necessarily what I want to do. I don't want to, you know, starve myself. I don't want to, you know, try to, you know, just get used to these, like, quick, fast goals. This is one of those things that's going to take a long time. And mm-hmm. it's going to be, you know, it's the same reason I don't want to, like, weigh myself every day and look at the scale and get obsessed with that because, you know, I'm gaining muscle and losing fat. It's not, the scale's not going to 100% reflect how I feel and look. Anyway, oh, my God, those pictures blew up. Everybody loved them. You know, everybody was like, oh, my God, you know, this, oh, I can see the progress and all this stuff, which I'm like, y'all have never seen my arms before. I only wear baggy clothes, but I guess they could feel it too. They was like, yeah, good, you know, good for you, whatever. And I can see the progress, you know, I can see little muscles forming and shit, but, you know, I'm glad I did it, you know, and I appreciate everybody that had kind things to say about it. And then everyone kept commenting on my shirt, but I don't even know who that guy is. That's just a shirt that I like the design. And
people don't believe you, Rod.
And honestly, if y'all know who that guy is, I'm questioning y'all, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because the things that y'all were saying, that picture was of that man. I don't know what kind of person would even know. How would you even know who that person was?
I ain't got to make it nasty,
unless
man.
Unless you was. Oh, so Karen, you know too? Oh, man. Wow. I'm learning some things about the audience today. I thought y'all was really sanctified holy rollers, but I guess y'all must be
holy ghost
living in the den
fire,
of iniquity.
Fire baptized.
Maybe J.L. Covin was right about y'all. And then the last thing is, and it's kind of important, but it's kind of a programming note. So we are switching hosts for our podcast, meaning we have to leave Spotify for hosting and move our podcast to another hosting platform. We'll have a big announcement about why and all that stuff behind the scenes. It's really like a cool thing we're doing, but unfortunately that means stuff has to end. Like, we have to turn off the ads, which, you know, for y'all is great, right? Hey,
yeah,
no ads.
No ads. No more ads.
We have to turn off the ads for now. And then also, we had to turn off the Just a Tip. Now, I want to say there's like maybe 70, 80 people that affects, you know, not a shit ton of people, but still, it's important for those folks. They'll still have access to it, I think, until like June 3rd or something. So you can still listen to all those if you're Just a Tipper. But we turned off that part of it so that so the $5 to get one extra episode a week is no longer a thing, and it's something we just have to do because of switching hosts. If the next host offers something similar, we'll put it back up. If like push comes to shove and we need to find a way to do that for people, we'll see what we can do. I'm not sure what our options we have, but the good that, so if you got that email this morning, It's not like, oh no, we accidentally turned it off. It's something we have to do mm-hmm. in order to transfer a host.
Yeah, those are the people. Everybody else, you good. It's not going to impact anybody else in any other way. Your feed will pop up like normal.
Yeah, and we look forward to letting y'all in on the moves that we're making, because I think y'all are going to be very, it's going to be a celebration. And mm-hmm. I hope, you know, stick with us and enjoy all that stuff. And of course, you can still sign up premium on our website to get access to all the episodes that are behind the paywall. You know, if you want to do that, theblackouttips.com/premium, the link is always in the show notes. All right, that's it for all my stuff I had to do up front. You ready to get into some music?
If you are.
I mean, news. All right, Diddy stuff continues because there's, you know, plenty of stuff to talk about, and then there's the fallout from it, and then people getting asked about it and all this stuff. And the latest round of Diddy news, Missa Hylton, who I believe she shares a son, Justin Combs, with Diddy.
Okay.
She took to Instagram to address that tape coming out, you know, because people are now doing that thing where they're looking at the women in his orbit, the women he used to deal with, the women he's dealing with, the women he has around him, and all the people around him, really, but especially women, because for some reason we always turn this into like a, you know, burn the witch situation and make the women responsible for his shit, you know. And of course, also because it's an emotional thing, and I'm sure it affected her, and she felt like, I need to say something. And I think people are now seeing, if a man's capable of doing what he did to Cassie and having it covered up since 2016, what has he done to other people who are even less famous than that, less resources than that, less recourse than that, you know, who did choose to hopefully like watch him move on to someone else and just hope he don't come back to you, you know, such situation. So she's,
yep,
put out this statement. I'm heartbroken that Cassie must relive the horror of her abuse, and my heart goes out to her. I know exactly how she feels, and through my empathy, it has triggered my own trauma. These young people were raised by women who want the best for them. We put God and education first and have always been united in our mutual effort to support their dreams. Two of the youngest do not have their mother here, and it has been our duty to support them. Talking about his kids, and which is also a thing, too, because he's very close with his sons, and they, like, they're always around him and influenced by him. He's tried to like make them into kind of like walking his steps. And it's like, I can't imagine the heartbreaking anguish that, you know, that must cause the mother of the child, if they have experienced or seen or heard about any of this abuse. Their father needs help, and I'm praying that he truly does the personal work and receives it. So yeah, I think that's what she had to say. Which, you know, for her, I understand why she'd be saying stuff about prayers and stuff. This isn't the same to me as Kelly Price. Like, we just need to pray, and the brother need to. I feel like this is a more, you know, realistic thing. Peloton is stopping playing Diddy music.
And that's
from all his classics.
And that's big, because they have a list that's mile long. Like, they have tons of artists and tons of music. And a lot of these artists, you know, depending on how big they are and how much music they have classes like cycling classes and weightlifting classes and, you know, Zumba class, all with like, hey, this is a Beyonce class for this. A Beyonce, where they just play like certain artists' music, like, in that class, and then periodically they just play it all of the time. So that's going to be really, really big, because you're going to strip a lot of choice of music for people across the board,
right? I mean and it's weird, because he gave his artists back their publishing in some cases, but then like, does this extend to like, yo, we not playing no Bad Boy music, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I just wonder. But yeah, they said basically, thank you for your concerns. We take this issue very seriously, and confirm Peloton has paused the use of Sean Combs' music, as well as removed the Bad Boy Entertainment Artist Series from our platform. This means our instructors are no longer using his music in any newly produced classes. Again, thank you for sharing your concerns. Thank you for being a member of our Peloton community.
Yeah, and also the thing is, if you erase literally anything with him on it, that is, people underestimate the vastness of how much music he was on, made, and or featured during a certain period of time. And so, you know, you literally probably hundreds and possibly, you know, thousands of songs. We're talking about the remakes and all this stuff. It is a huge library. So, you know, it's a lot of songs that somebody has to take the time to dig and do that. And I understand their stance, and they say pause, which means it's a possibility at some period of time they go, okay, he's not hot, people not complaining, and they just slowly bring it back.
Yeah, like I said, I can kind of want, yeah, because I feel like this is kind of part of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the same thing happened with the Cosby Show, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff, where it's like, oh, we gotta cut this out, guys. It's not good right now. And then somehow we end up, you know, eventually, after a certain amount of time, coming right back.
Yeah, because people have such short-term memory, and they go, oh, y'all ain't hot about it no more? Okay.
Yeah, I can't even call it short-term memory. I think it's a rational emotional reaction that emotions fade over time, and this shit is too ubiquitous for us to be picking and choosing forever. Like, if we made this a forever thing, there just would not be entertainment for the most part.
I agree.
So I don't even think it's like a matter of like, you know, people just can't keep, you know, people not like, I just think it's natural that it fades, but in the immediacy of it, you're not going to be able to rationalize doing it. And once again, I always say this about myself. I've never boycotted any musician. But I have not listened to musicians strictly because I'm like, I can't not think about what the fuck you're talking about and what you did.
Agreed.
You know, and I think most people probably are on that line. But they call it a boycott. They call it something bigger, but it's really not. It's just, if you literally can't hear a Kanye song without thinking about how terrible some of the shit he said and done is, that's why you don't listen to Kanye. Because if I go through your list,
right,
there's going to be somebody on there where it's like, they did horrible things. And it's going to be like, yeah, I don't think about that when I listen to James Brown. I don't think about that when I listen to Marvin Gaye. I don't think about that when I listen to Doja Cat or whatever the fuck. So I just, for those folks, I get it. Because I think many of us are similar. We're just not all sitting around going because we made a boycott or something.
Agreed.
Diddy and Cassie's former makeup artist, Myla Morales, recently went on Extra and talked about a time she had to help Cassie with her makeup and call a doctor for her.
And now a former good friend of Cassie's is coming forward to say that she feared for Cassie's safety and her own.
We were always scared of Puff. Like, he's a powerful person, and we don't know what would happen to us if we spoke out.
Myla Morales, a makeup artist who worked with both Diddy and Cassie, spoke with our special correspondent, Page Six's Carlos Greer.
Did you know about the
artist who worked with both Diddy and...
First of all, what? Does Diddy look so fucking scary in this picture right here?
Look back. God
damn, this nigga looks scary as shit. Like a fucking someone said Candyman in the mirror three times.
He just popped up to somebody purposely to make it that dark.
Right. And of course, Cat, you know, yeah, that picture looks scary as shit now. Maybe it's just all the pictures gonna look scary in hindsight, but god damn.
Yes, they are.
And Cassie spoke with our special correspondent, Page Six's Carlos Greer.
Did you know about the physical abuse? Did you ever hear stories or beating her?
I did not know. But I witnessed it.
Myla recounted an incident at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
What does that mean to not know about it but to witness it?
I guess meaning I did not know. I guess maybe it was, you know how people make up lies. So you see something, you're like, oh, what happened? They're like, such, 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 such. And you being a makeup artist, but like, okay. And now you're like, oh, there was more to this than what the person was telling me at the time.
Hell, one Grammy weekend.
Because everybody assumes it. Everybody you know around you knows it. And this is not always true.
And more than a decade ago.
What did you hear? What did you think you were witnessing?
I don't even want to like go back to it because it's like, it's triggering. All I witnessed was him walking into the room and saying, where the f- is she? And I didn't know what was going on. Cause I was like, I just woke up from a slumber, and next thing you know, all I hear from the bedroom was, you know, just, I don't want to like go back and think about.
So you're at the Beverly Hills Hotel. You know, you hear something. You don't see Puffy actually physically attacking her, but you hear something.
I did not know what was going on. I just, all I can think of was to get her out of there.
What happened when she appeared, when you saw her?
She was bruised. I mean, badly bruised, like knots on her head, a black eye. All I cared about was to get her to safety. And I took her into my house and kept her there for a few days. And I literally called my friend, who was a doctor at the time, to treat her because we couldn't bring her to the hospital. We didn't know what the hell to do at that point. You know, who are we gonna call? I'm scared just even talking about this, but I feel like somebody has to.
What did you make of his apology?
My behavior on that video is inexcusable.
Just a PR stunt? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, he didn't even mention her name. And if he was apologetic about it, he would mention her name, but he didn't. And that's what I don't understand. And I just feel like he's a great, talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, that is a thing that happens with abuse where people see and hear things, but and maybe you put it together more in hindsight, or maybe just, you know, this is the fear, this is why it perpetrates, is because people are scared, you know?
Yeah, and also, and it's one of them things where, y'all, I get it. Everybody's upset, everybody's mad, everybody want to burn him and everybody around him down, anybody that was involved and or saw anything or could have reported anything at any period of time. I mean, I get that. But sometimes in all situations, just because something happens does not always mean that people are aware. Sometimes it can honestly be, oh, I really didn't know. And like you say, putting it behind, putting the pieces together after the fact. But everybody go, you should have known. You know what? Abusers don't make shit obvious sometimes. You know, that's the whole purpose of the abuse. And sometimes the person that's abused make excuses for the abuser to also cover it up so people around them won't really think or second guess these things. And I'm not excusing their behavior, and I'm not excusing them not reporting it, but also I understand why. And so a lot of times, you know, this person was scared too. So it's not like, you know, everybody don't have the courage anytime they see things happen around them that's not right to run and report it. But everybody want to burn everybody down to the ground right now. That everybody was like, well, you should have known. You should. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, I hear what y'all saying. But is that realistic for everybody all of the time? No.
Well, also, I think it's a thing where everyone wants to imagine themselves like taking it to the extreme and being like, I would stop this. I would do this. I would do that. Also, for the most part, people don't understand the cycle that the person being abused is often not going to let you do that shit and tell you that a bunch of shit, you know, this, oh, he doesn't really do this. Oh, it's my fault.
Right. It's the first,
you know,
time.
I can't go to the hospital, because then he'll look bad and blah, blah, blah. And this is also this woman's employer, 'cause she's a makeup artist.
Right.
So, and we know for a fact that this dude has, or we know it's been alleged that he's threatened and harassed and had people harmed and all this shit and shot someone in a club. I can guarantee you a lot of people were like, fuck that. I don't know how far he'll go. If he'll do this to her, and then what?
Then who am I?
Yeah. So I definitely get it. I'm not playing it in order to like pile on her or whatever. I was just more surprised at the idea of, I didn't know about it, but I witnessed it. It's kind of an interesting trick of the mind that your mind must do to itself to make you be like, no, I'm, you know, I did what I could. But it's like, well, it sounded like you knew about it, because, and I'm not saying, once again, I'm not casting blame. I'm saying, I just can't imagine you let someone stay in your house for days to heal up from injuries and call the doctor to your house to help her, but then would say, I didn't know about this abuse. It's like, well, I mean, how could you not at that point? Cameron got some publicity out of this whole thing too. Someone at CNN thought it was a good idea to call Cameron and have him talk about Diddy.
Who wanted to know his opinion?
So I guess,
did they ask Ja?
Right. Abby Phillip is the host of this show, Black Woman. And it's kind of it's almost like a bigger insult because it is a black woman. Like, you went on her platform and it was clown time or whatever. But at the same time, I'm like, I have so many questions about who booked him, why they booked him, who thought it was a good idea, who briefed him on the interview, all this stuff. Because we've had Cameron as a guest on Game Theory before and interview him, and I mean, he's just a wild card. He's like, he's a funny guy and stuff, but he's not here to have any serious conversation. His brand on his show with Mace is very, you know, immature and whatnot. Like, it's like he's not here to be an adult and grow up. He's 48, but he's not trying to act like an adult with most shit,
right?
You know?
And this is somebody where you go, y'all are trying to have a serious conversation?
Yeah, I just can't. I mean, maybe someone wasn't familiar. I could see, I could even see if you got Mace, I feel like the interview would have been different, but Mace probably wouldn't have done this interview, to be honest. Like, why am I going on CNN to talk about Diddy?
Oh, great. And they probably asked me. He probably like, fuck no, I'm good.
Right. I don't know how to turn the volume down on this shit. And every time I... Okay, all right, fuck it. We'll have to go to Twitter to get the click. Jesus.
Y'all determined it. That commercial said, bitch, I ain't muting.
Right.
Mute the this. Fuck?
They were like, you gonna get this. You gonna get this music.
You'll get all 60 of these seconds.
Right. All right, let me see if I can get to my page, because I think I shared this last night. But yeah, it's like I can't really be shocked that Cameron, of all people, gave a very immature like interview and response to all this shit, because he's just a very immature type of dude, and his brand is immaturity. I think actually a lot of people give him space in a weird way that they don't, because it's like that lower expectations thing. So like him and Mace kind of brought back a lot of the like no homo type stuff that people were doing, but people like instead they're like, oh, you just crazy, that's crazy, or whatever.
They would not accept that from
so now
else.
People say that instead of no homo, but they still mean the same
thanks
thing.
For being here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Thanks for being here. First, when you saw that video of Diddy, Cassie in that hotel, did you recognize that Sean Combs?
But I want to say, first of all, when I seen the video, everything in the video is egregious. I'm against. I don't support all the charges that's alleged against him. I don't support any of that trafficking, minors, domestic violence. I'm totally against it. So when I seen the video, yeah, I was kind of upset with it. Being that I know him, he's not necessarily a friend, but yeah, I was upset when I seen it. But
did you recognize
everything
him?
I just said?
Did you recognize that kind of anger at all from your experiences?
I don't know him like that. What did you mean? Do I be recognized? Did I recognize him? I seen him. What do you mean my experiences? I seen him and I thought it was disgusting. I didn't do a zoom in to see if it was really him or nothing, but he admitted it was him. So yeah, it was him.
So already it's kind of animosity from his side. He's kind of got shades on, a bucket hat.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, it's like just the way you look. It's like, oh, you don't need to take this serious. Like, we on an interview on national television in front of millions of people, and you didn't have the courtesy to look this lady in her eyes.
And the way things are booked, clearly, because he's going to say some shit later to make it sound like, oh, man, they just had me on here. How the fuck this even happened? But the way these things are booked, they vet you. So they ask you pre-interview questions. They tell you what it's going to be. If they don't tell you, they tell your people what it's going to be so they can brief you.
Because it's somebody's job to let you know.
They normally have like a couple minutes of talking to you before you even go on the air. Mm. You have to get mic'd up, makeup, all this shit. So it's not like you just show up, hop on the air, and then that's it. On the other side... they typically do a good job vetting who to have on. Now, I think this is kind of emblematic of something I've been saying about cable news for a long time. And I know we had that listener that just disagreed, but I just, shit like this keeps happening. It's entertainment.
Yes.
And Cameron is entertaining, but he's not, there's no serious reason you should have him on. This most viral moment on cable news was the You Mad thing with Bill O'Reilly. Like, he's not, he's a troll, he's funny, he's goofy, he's not, you know, he's the snap snitching guy. He's not the guy for, we would like to have a serious conversation. And in that way, he knows that too, and puts it on display here.
What did you think about the apology that he gave in that other video?
Ain't me for this, the apology ain't for me to decide, for Cassie. What I think about it don't matter. He ain't do nothing to me. Cassie need to ask Cassie if she accept the apology. I told you I feel. I said what I said.
I want to play a conversation that you had on your podcast back in September with Mace. Mm-hmm. Listen.
Yeah.
When you had your record deal, why did you take me to Biggie Smalls and not Bad Boy?
Man, it's almost going to bring me to tears to say this. I just, being that I saw you as such a good friend, I wanted to put you with somebody I knew it.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. A lot of people ask me that on Instagram, yeah, man. Don't have me just out here crying and shit, man. I don't want to get emotional in here, man.
Instantly, I knew Biggie would do right by you.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, is there something known in the industry about how Diddy treated his artists?
Is he taking a shot? The fuck is that?
So I'm going to get some cheeks after this horsepower joint.
What?
So he has his own, I guess, penis enhancement. I don't even know what you call it. Like his own, basically like Viagra supplement type thing. The shit you buy over a gas station counter called Pink Horsepower. He also promoted his stuff on Game Theory. When he was there, like he pulled it out and was like, you know, I don't remember if it made the air or not. I just remember he definitely did.
It did not.
Oh, it didn't. Okay. He definitely promoted it that day on the show. Mm-hmm. But we have live to tape, which means we have like a bunch of hours to cut and change everything. Yes. And also, our interview could be like 10 minutes and y'all will see like 3.
Yeah.
So we just cut the bullshit out.
Yeah, they have to chop it down.
This is live on the air, straight to the viewer. And
nobody expected him to do this.
Right. And of course, this has nothing to do with anything. You know, it's just here's a chance to promote my brand. He looked almost nervous the way his hand was shaking, holding that shit up. But, you know, it's just a stunt. And I think before they cut to the clip, you can almost see him looking down. Right around here, like he was opening it or like getting it out to be like, when we come back, I'm gonna do this bullshit.
Yeah, and also from the beginning, he kind of is not paying attention.
Yeah,
like from the beginning, he's looking over to the side, like even with the shades and his head is turning, he's not serious about the interview and the person in front of him. Like there's like other shit around and directly in front of him is very distracting, whatever that stuff is. And this just happened to be one of the things that he probably had set, prep, planned, or whatever.
I think this is the entire point of doing this interview.
Yes.
This moment.
Power joint. I'm just going off what Mace said. Mace took me to Big.
Shout out to her professionalism, because her face never changed, and I would have been like, nigga. Like, my face would have said nigga. I might not have said nigga out of my face, but my face would have been like, if we don't get this nigga off the air, okay, bro. You don't care.
This
cool. Who booked this? Like, the producer is going to get a cockatoo, whoever booked this too.
Yeah, and all jokes aside, this is why you have professional people, and I am not knocking it, and not these new media folks is not fucking professional, because she, like you said, her face didn't change, her demeanor didn't change, and she just looked at the camera like, okay,
yeah, shout out to her being a pro.
I don't really know Puff is like Mace, no Puff, so I appreciate what Mace said, and of course, that's my brother, so if he felt that way, then he felt that way. I can't really tell you how Puff moves or anything like that. Mace may know better than me, because he was signed to Puff, I wasn't. But my show does come on at 8 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. It's called It Is What It Is. And y'all make sure y'all check it out. I mean, I might get some more information out of Mace from there. But for me to tell you how Puff acting and all that, I don't know. I never was signed to him.
Yeah. What about the industry in general? I mean, so many people have pointed out that Diddy couldn't get away with this stuff if there weren't a lot of people protecting him. Do you think that's the case?
Who the talent agent for this joint? Like, you think I'll be sitting around watching what Diddy do and all this? I didn't know this was a Diddy joint that y'all invited me to. Yo, who booked me for this joint?
So he talking to other people in the room. I'll be sitting around watching
Diddy and all that. Yeah, thanks. Man, come on, man.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you for having me. You enjoy.
Right. So then he went on his show to explain this.
Yeah, let's actually talk about that before we even get into the questions. Like, elephant in the room, you were on another show.
Yeah, I came. I know.
I'm surprised he's wearing the same outfit 2 days in a row. That's interesting.
I didn't even go home last night because I went to the studio. I washed up though, so I'm good. I ain't gonna explain none of that. But yeah, man, you know, you was gonna say something? Oh no, I seen your hand. Yeah, no, they invited me on the show to talk about what's going on with Diddy and all that. And then my thing about it was, Mace, that is that They didn't invite me on to say about how successful our show is or the positive stuff we do in the community, how every day, 5 days a week, Mace talks to kids on a Zoom call. Mace doesn't even promote this. I'm going to promote this for Mace. Is that every day at 5 o'clock, it don't matter what's going on, what's happening, where he's at. It could be money involved. It could be a photo shoot. It could be whatever. He stops what he's doing to talk to kids around the world about being positive and doing.
Now, the point here already. You knew what they had you come on for.
I do not.
You trying to flip this into some, we just trying to be positive. And you could have just said no. Hey, we want you to come on and talk about Diddy. No.
I guarantee you they asked because they are not going to invite you on.
I know
them.
Because I've been on this side of the industry. You do so. There's so much shit you have to do before you can just put some motherfucker on the air. You can't just put a mic in someone's face and be like, all right, man, you're on the air with us. There's a lot of pre-preparation. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of talking to their people. Hey, this is what's going to be. There's a lot of last-minute no-shows, by the way. There's a lot of, like, shit, we thought we had Cam, but at the last second, he said he don't want to do it. You know? So, there's this idea that he's about the float of, they just threw me out there, and, you know, I just want to only talk about positive things like our show and talking to kids. Fuck out of here.
And all jokes aside, this goes back, and this, in my opinion, confirms Kelly Rowland. Because I guarantee you, one of her stipulations was like, we're not talking about Beyonce. And
it
was
we're
going to talk about Beyonce. And next she was like, well, bitch, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
I mean, to me, that that confirms that, she had this, and y'all went against that. So she was like, well, I'm not doing this interview no more because y'all told me we were not going to talk about this.
For the record, Karen's talking about an old episode we did, I don't even know how long ago it was, where Kelly Rowland was on, like, the Today Show or Good Morning America or something, end up leaving. They said it's because she had she didn't like her dressing room or some shit. That was the story they floated. But the real story is they kept asking Kelly Rowland about Beyonce because Beyonce had just rolled out or announced like her new music.
Yeah, and she had and just did
Kelly
that.
Kelly was like, Netflix I'm not here thing, to yeah. do a Beyonce interview. I was here to talk about me and what I'm doing. And yeah, I'm leaving. And so that's why Karen's bringing that up.
On what they believe in and so on and so forth. And to the point where, you know, one day he was at my house and he told me, Cam, you can't make no noise. Don't come in. I'm not playing with you. Like, that's how serious. Put me on CNN for the bullshit. I'm going to give you the bullshit. That's just what's going to happen. So we got some.
So that's how he's justifying it is they put him on CNN for, quote unquote, the bullshit. So he's going to give you the bullshit as if he couldn't have just said no.
Yeah, you could have said no.
He wanted to promote his shit. He's a stunt queen. That's really what this was about.
Free promo. I teased the Pink Horsepower. They tried to bring up when Mace bought me the Biggie instead of Puff. And I said, yeah, if you seen it, what you asking me about it for? Like, nigga, it was self-explanatory. So I got us some free promo. I didn't get the shout out to Dipset Couture. Make sure you go online to Dipset Couture. .us to order some shirts and everything else. But yeah, I just felt that you tried to use me, pause, to
like I said, it's
whatever Diddy going through this? The down on. Listen, the video, I don't support it. I don't believe in domestic violence. I don't believe in anything that has to do with being a pedophile. I don't believe in sex trafficking. I think what I seen the video was egregious and the charges are fucked up. They're really fucked up. Oh, wait, but nigga, I said what I said. I gave a disclaimer at the beginning. Then we got on the commercial. That was that. So that's how that went.
And my thing, it is an interview. So it's their job to ask you more detailed questions about shit that's already
now,
been said.
Obviously, you know, I'll make the point that I think all of us are making in our heads if we haven't made it enough already. But obviously, the producer and whoever booked it is also, I can't imagine what the fuck they were thinking. You know what I mean? Because Cameron has never given us any reason to expect anything from him as far as putting him in a news segment about domestic violence with someone and going, hey, can we get some, you know, like it's just impossible
areas,
to imagine that.
Yeah, in different areas it's fine, but not when we're trying to have a real serious down
to earth conversation.
Well,
I'm going to be honest. In any area, I can't imagine booking him for a fucking cable news show. I just can't. Yeah,
for cable.
I can't even imagine what the fucking topic
cable
would be.
Cable news show, right.
To bring him on. So, like, in a way, it's very much like a, like, snake scorpion crossing the river moment where I'm like, yeah, it's fucked up what he did. And as a 48-year-old man who's not even mature enough to have that conversation or mature enough to turn it down and be like, yeah, I just shouldn't even do it. To go in, I'm going to just get a viral moment. Yeah, absolutely admonish him. That's terrible. Also, he's kind of unadmonishable because he don't give a fuck.
He don't care.
So then you got to look at your own shit and be like, "That's we shouldn't have him on here. That's guests we don't book because of shit. That's guests we could get that do a bunch of promo shit and they always doing something, trying to get a viral moment, and they might could come on here and give us that viral moment. You know, there's guests that basically you see them everywhere. There's people that... They're very available, but it's low quality content. Mm-hmm. And you end up with some shit like this because they don't respect you or their platform, because they'll go on any platform and say anything.
Right.
So CNN kind of reap what they sowed there. I think that's all the Diddy stuff. Simone Biles is still loving her man. I know, shocking. I know y'all can't believe it. And so I think currently she was at a competition on Saturday in Hartford, Connecticut, and people are still going at her husband and stuff, and I think
they ain't got nothing else to do.
It's so weird to me. I can believe it, but it's so fucking crazy that y'all haven't let this go.
Right.
It is so fucking insane that it's been months at this point, and they are determined to take that one fucking interview and ride this shit to the wheels falls off. To make her miserable, by the way. Like, they're not helping her. They're just wanting to make her miserable.
Yeah, and then if you turn around and tell the people, oh, y'all got issues with black women. Y'all got issues. Like
It's black women.
Yeah, it's like, something wrong with y'all. They're like, no, we're not misogynistic. That. Well, then leave the shit the fuck alone then.
So she's been, you know, and she's addressed it several times. She's made several posts and shit. I forget what even made this one the one. Like, maybe he said he doesn't like being referred to as Miss Simone Biles, Mr. Simone Biles or something. And they up in arms again. It's like, well, that's, I don't like that. I know people that just don't play like that. And it's not like because I beat my woman and I hate her. It's like they don't play that in their house, and it's fine. They're their own people. Whatever their rules are in their relationship that makes it work, that's the relationship they have. If you can understand people having an open relationship, a non-monogamous relationship, traditional relationship, non-traditional relationship, if you can understand people, we can understand people being like, I like to watch somebody get fucked, watch my wife get fucked by other people. And we're like, hey, sex positive, you know, open mind. But if somebody is like, yeah, I actually don't want to be called Mr. Simone Biles, and she loves being the wife, seen as a wife. Oh, well, nah, we can't have that. We gotta break y'all up. It's like, well, that's what the fuck they like. I don't know. Anyway, she put out this post. I'm going to quickly address this. The joke was never a joke. Y'all are blatantly being disrespectful to my husband, my relationship with my husband. So I'm going to go ahead and say this one time. Respectfully, fuck off. And if you keep commenting or tweeting at me, I'm just going to block you. Simple as that. And no, I don't need to touch grass or whatever the fuck y'all suggest. And at everyone else that supports us, we love y'all. It's crazy that this is still happening. And what's funny is it sounds like what really triggered this is she's doing an event and he's there supporting her.
Mm-hmm.
And motherfuckers are like, even this is a problem somehow. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I missed the thing that set everybody off. But it's just that eternal I'm going to be mad energy. Mm-hmm. And now every time she shows her face, here we go.
Yep, it was the other way around. Yeah, it wouldn't say shit.
Right. So I really don't understand how this is turning into something so foul about it, you know? And it's funny because you're making strange bedfellows out of people, because now you have conservative people that are racist against Simone Biles, mm-hmm. joining in on the like, yeah, these fucking liberal, feminist, woke, progressive people are always, they the real problem. Look right. at how they won't leave you alone. What's wrong with a woman feeling like her man is the catch and him feeling like some self, you know, that shit. So now you got that, these motherfuckers joining in. And I'm like, all this could be avoided by just leaving this shit alone. Mm-hmm. You know, if something happens in a relationship, they won't come out and tell us, cool. You know, if you want to hear that, fine. You know, but if with us hearing nothing, I just don't get what the fuck this is happening. You know, so it's just such a wild thing, and it's also wild that people don't want him to see pride in himself. It's so such a crazy thing. Like, all these athletes are fucking crazy. Like, you don't get to be an NFL player being humble and modest and shit. Like, especially with his story of coming from the bottom to where he's at. Like, of course he thinks he's fucking great and he's worked hard and he wants to be acknowledged and all this shit. And he wants that for himself. Like, I don't know. I don't find, it's like that thing some athletes believe where they're like, if you don't think you're the best person on the court at all time, you shouldn't even be out there. It's like, whatever delusion you need to have to fucking go get hit like a freight train by a freight train several times a day on every Sunday, fine. You know what I mean? But I think it's so weird how they're just fixated on that relationship. Let's see what else. Live Nation is opening to figuring out common ground to settle the Department of Justice investigation.
Because mm-hmm, they know they're going to lose. They know it's ridiculous. These fees are fucking stupid. They got fees on top of fees on top of fees that don't make fucking sense. You're overcharging people. You actually cornered the market on, and you actually tell people and you promote your own aftermarket ticket prices, and then the same fees that you charged the first time, you charge those same fees again. So you're literally double dipping on the charges and shit like that. And people are like, hey, this is ridiculous. And every time we turn around, y'all are like, we don't see y'all making billions of dollars and constantly making profit, you know, breaking profits and shit like this. And then you have a lot of artists be like, hey, y'all bully. You have a lot of venues be like, hey, y'all bully. Like, y'all don't allow anybody else to do it unless the venue has their own personal ticket systems. It's very hard to book anywhere, and particularly in America, almost anywhere, big or small venues in between, it's very hard to book unless you go through Ticketmaster, some form of Ticketmaster Live or something like that. And it got to be frustrating. And because of the pandemic, a lot of the smaller venues closed because they could not support a lot of like community based that actually did things, because you have a lot of bands and a lot of people that toured. They're not big. So their whole thing was going across the country and doing these smaller venues. But it's hard to do it when you have to go through Ticketmaster. We're talking about, which makes sense. Like, y'all, the cost of tickets go up, because it was like, hey, dog, there used to be a time where, you know, a cost of a ticket wasn't a house payment. But now, like, you know, certain concerts, you're going to pay a house payment every single time you go. People like, I can't afford this. And like, we were talking about this before, and you know, talking about like J-Lo canceled all these other people. And I was like, yeah, because it's like either you're gonna pay top dollar or either people just not gonna go, because it's like, hey dog, is going to see such worth the $300 that I'm gonna get charged and 150 of them gonna be in goddamn fees?
Yeah, the main issue here is that it's being sued over antitrust stuff, which means they basically have a monopoly over ticket sales. So yeah, and the DOJ don't miss, so they definitely gonna end up, and the DOJ has been a lot more active in this thing. I think the only people I've seen beat this is Microsoft when they bought Activision. Everybody else, and that was like, that was touch and go, you know. So it's gonna be interesting, but the fact that they're already trying to negotiate with the DOJ doesn't bode well for them, you know, how they feel about this ruling.
Because they look like, hey dog, like, give us anybody else that could, that's another option other than y'all. Like, y'all are literally embedded in everything. Well,
yeah, there's no competition.
Right.
So y'all get to fuck everybody. Let's see what else happened. Chet Hanks hilariously explains Drake and Kendrick Lamar rap beef to his dad, Tom Hanks. He put the pictures of the text messages online together.
Poor Tom Hanks.
Big Main, can you explain Drake Kendrick Lamar feud to me? Yeah, so Drake and this other dude, J. Cole, have been saying they, along with Kendrick, got a big three in rap. Then Kendrick put out a song saying, fuck the big three, it's just Big Me, initiating the beef. Then Drake was like, you got small feet because you're like 5'5" or whatever. And then Kendrick was like, you're a deadbeat dad, and made fun of his Canadian accent. So Drake came back and was like, oh yeah, well, I heard you beat your wife. But literally like 30 seconds later, Kendrick put out a diss overshadowing Drake's diss, where he pretty much methodically dismantled Drake's entire psyche and called him a pedophile for flirting with young girls and revealing Drake had another kid that he was hiding from the world, which turned out to be false. And Drake came back and was like, haha, I got your ass. I had people gave you false info to make you look stupid, but it didn't even matter, because then Kendrick just dropped another West Coast banger when he really went in on labeling Drake as a pedophile. That was pretty much the sonic equivalent of when you took me to your high school in Oakland and we walked in on the basketball game and everybody started going nuts. Like, if you heard it, you would just automatically know how to crip walk with a stank face while clutching an Oscar in each hand with Marshawn Lynch, then dap him up and call him town business, which solidified the win not only for Kendrick but the entire West Coast. And then Tom Hanks said, holy cow, these are fighting words. People taking sides? Who's winning? And he said, did you not just read what I said?
Who's winning?
What I think is interesting with this is he typed all that and none of that was in that patois or Ebonics or AAVE. He is a white man, okay? Mm-hmm. And he be doing too much, okay? I'm not even amused, okay? Like, all I noticed was like, he typed that in the King's English, this motherfucker. Like, if you would have had him say it out loud, he would have been like, ah, me bumble clot, don't know, you know, your school face up, but don't,
he know his bullshit daddy, ass nigga. His daddy be looking at him like, what, son?
Oh, fake ass motherfucker. Anyway, white boy, some of my ass. All right. Fans resurfaced Jocelyn Hernandez calling out Amber Rose after Amber Rose endorsed Trump. That's right. The whole internet's dragging her now. I had only seen the initial post yesterday when we did the show.
Oh, yeah. You know, people are going to come back to Woodward.
But now people are
her neck.
Yeah, people are doing the Oppo research on her and shit. And she also, since then, has put a comment response on, I think it was like the Shade Room or somewhere, and to defend herself. And it, of course, was all the talking points that people are paid to do. And so she was interesting about her. Matter of fact, I'll say this after I read all the stuff. So, yeah. So they went and found this Jocelyn Hernandez clip talking about Amber Rose. Let me see if I can play it for everybody.
Your problem is that you really want to be a white girl. Your problem is that you really want to be a white girl.
So I guess you said Amber Rose is a white.
Stop being so sensitive, because you and I are very cool. So for you to
do
that.
Yeah, but it's not about being sensitive.
But you are being sensitive.
No, but if you're not, you're black.
You're not white, though. You're black.
My father is white, though.
Okay, but to me, your mother's
black. But that's not about you. It's about me.
It is about me when I feel like saying what the fuck I want to say. You can't check me on that. And if you go and check me, then check me.
Okay, I checked you. I'm checking you now.
Yeah, but you now, because I don't give a fuck about how you feel.
I don't give a fuck either, then. Because I can say the same thing about you.
I have never seen this clip before. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. Jocelyn's face is half painted like Harley Quinn.
I was about to ask.
Ray J is in the background.
What is happening here?
I'm assuming this is like the BET Celebrity House shit they did that I didn't watch.
A white person. So that's the
thing. But it's not about what you consider. That's the whole
you
point.
You mix like me. You mix like, you know what's your problem? Your problem is that you really want to be a white girl. Let's just get down to the point.
Jocelyn!
No, Professor. Let's get down to the point.
Jocelyn.
Your problem is that you really don't even want to be black. She's conflicted with her blackness. See, when I was growing up, I chose to be black. I was born in Puerto Rico, a Spanish-speaking place, so I'm a black Hispanic. But Amber, she don't know how to behave in black places or in white places. She feel like she got to cater to each of them. But I damn sure know that she doesn't cater to nothing black.
Wait.
You want to go there?
Wait.
Let me finish. Oh, there she go. Cry, baby.
That they fighting. I don't. Mm-hmm. They cut away from it. Yeah, out of respect for all parties involved, we chose not to show this fight. College Hill and ASU did not condone violence all the time. Let me tell you right now, I don't need to see the fight. Amber Rose definitely lost. I've seen Jocelyn fight enough people enough times, including grown ass men.
She ain't the one
to know that there's no fucking way Amber Rose even held a fair one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Marion?
Oh my gosh! No, y'all! I didn't know if her head got smashed.
This is crazy. Amon Shumpert. And Ray J gonna always give you a great reaction shot. So people keep bringing up that clip to be like, because now it's time to, you know, to get her. Now, what's interesting is she defended herself under the shade room when everybody was calling her out to be like, hey, she's a fucking hypocrite. You know, like, first of all, as I brought up, the slut walk and all this stuff about bodily autonomy and feminism and agency and all this stuff. And then you're sitting, and even an article, even doing interviews saying Donald Trump in 2020 need to be held accountable for grabbing women by the pussy and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, she's done. You know, they're pulling up old tweets. Man, fuck the fact that he's old and fuck the fact he was on TV. He's a sexual predator just like Trump and Harvey. I hope they get their day as well. Talking about Trump in a picture someone had of Trump saying Trump think he's slick showing up to the Women's March in L.A. and it was a trash can. And so she put that picture up to be like talking, saying he's trash and saying, you know, so she was anti-Trump 2018 even. 2020 even.
Yeah, going with the wave.
But then now she's saying, y'all think Biden cares about black people? She called her detractor sad, urging them to research the candidates like she did. She said, I always put women first. Y'all want biological men in women's sports? Eye roll emoji. Trump supports the most reasonable compromise on abortion. Stop being brainwashed because we're, in caps, people of color. Make your own choice. I feel like she definitely highlighted that we're to be like, I'm not like you, I'm not like you Negroes.
Right.
I'll never be like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and all that did was justify Jocelyn's point, regardless of how she said it or put it across. It right. justifies the point. She was like, hey, dog, I don't think you are embracing your blackness, dog.
I tell my mom, I'll never be like any of those Negroes.
And I, you know, I always wondered if she was black because I remember a long time ago when she kind of first showed on the scene, being like, she's a black woman or not? Because I'm hearing she's from like some island off the coast of Africa. Her people come from there or some shit. I'm like, I guess that counts as black. And then a lot of people was like, no, she is white. She like, trust me, that's a white lady. And I'm like, okay, if y'all say so, I don't know the rules on this race shit. And right. I don't know. I've never heard her talk about how she identified. And then she started talking about how she identified. And there was always these kind of nebulous answers. And so I guess what is mostly interesting to me with her is how she used to be feminist. Like, she used to be feminist. She used to be for women's rights, women's empowerment. She used to be pro-trans. She dated a trans man. She's still with trans people for her causes, for her slut march and all this shit. And the fact that she has switched over, I'm just imagining the check clear.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, like, what else could it be? It's clearly not like, you know, I mean, Donald Trump is also a racist. She's black people, you need to do, just because we're people of color, like, I guess the check cleared, and now you just gone full, you know, whatever for the clicks. Now, let's go back, though, because I remember all the controversy around her slut marches and all the speeches she was giving and all the shit at the time. And I have to ask, because I think it's only right, which was real? This the real her, or was that the real her? And I think the reason it matters is because a lot of times when I'm talking about activism for clout, activism TM, when I'm talking about social media and how it's affected activism and what it looks like, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. It's a quick wave. It's a It's a way to get on. It's a way that makes you unquestionable. It's like being a stand-up comedian, by which I mean you become a stand-up comedian by nature of having once attempted stand-up. That's it.
Yep.
You don't have to be good at it. You ain't got to be able to fill a room. You don't have to do it for a certain amount of time. You don't need to do it for, you only need to have an hour. You only have 30 minutes, 10 minutes. Motherfuckers do two open mics. I'm a stand-up comic. Well, a stand-up comic that's been doing it for 15 years and a stand-up comic that just started yesterday aren't the same, but the label's the same for them.
Right.
And that is what activists is for ugly people or whatever. You know, like, you know how they say, like, activism is Hollywood for ugly people or something. Like, that's what it's like. Here's a way to get all the respect and acclaim and accolades by just calling yourself something. You know, I can't even count how many times we've been compelled, especially me. Someone's been like, you're an activist, right? And I'm like, I'm not putting that shit in my bio. I'm not.
Because I know all that goes with it and I'm good, dog.
Yeah, I'm not. I know what I do. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not holding myself to no activism standards.
Right.
I just tell you how I feel about things, period. I'm not rallying people. I'm not causing a march. I'm not like, I care about black people and all that stuff, but I care about them if we didn't do this podcast. I care about them if I just worked a 9-to-5 because I'm black. Like, I wouldn't call myself an activist. And I think the people that do, good for them, but I hope they're really doing the work and they're not like activist TM like she was. Mm-hmm. And so when she's flipping 180 degrees in the opposite direction for a check and a photo opportunity with Trump, I'm like, so when was this ever real?
Right.
And how many other motherfuckers like this are out there still with that label on them that just, you know, they can't really explain their actions from day to day because check came this day, different check came from somebody else the next day.
Yep, I've seen
it. Now we on that.
Now we on something completely different.
Yeah, I hate billionaires. Actually, guys, we should vote for this billionaire. What was the check? Where's the check coming in? What's happening? They the one opening their stage for you? They the one giving you the, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the difference for you? What's the cause? Oh, this... Fuck all these people on TV that I'm gonna be on MSNBC Sunday. Check us out. You know, like that's that bullshit to me. All right. Anything else? This in news that I don't even know what to say about. Iran's government is in turmoil after their president died in a helicopter crash.
Oh.
Yeah. He was the candidate to succeed the 85-year-old supreme leader. I don't even know how that works, really. Like, so y'all got a supreme leader and a president, but the president not the supreme leader, but he can become the supreme leader.
Yeah, I don't know the rules.
I don't even know how they government work like that. They hold regular elections for president and parliament with universal suffrage, but the supreme leader has a final say on all major policies, serves as commander in chief of the armed forces, and controls the powerful Revolutionary Guard. The supreme leader also appoints half of the 12-member Guardian Council, a clerical body that vets candidates for president, parliament, and assembly of experts as an elected body of jurists in charge of choosing the supreme leader. So, I don't know what happens. I don't know what this means for the Middle East. I don't know what this means for Israel.
Right.
Any
don't
of
know
this
what
shit.
This means for anybody's wars or anything.
I don't know what the speculation and conspiracies are, what they saying, who did what to whom. I saw that shit and was like, oh, damn.
Right? Whatever this is, there's going to be repercussions behind it.
Don't sound good.
It does not, sir.
You know? That's what I really say. I was just like, it don't sound good. You know, it's the kind of thing that I've been watching this TV. I finished watching this first season of the show, Lioness, on Paramount Plus. It's the kind of shit that will be a plot point on that, where it's like, we sent a secret team to blow up a helicopter and the news is going to say it was a crash. And I'll be like, I guess that's how it happens. And then, you know, like, I don't know shit about the way they go Zero Dark 30 on these niggas and shit. And then, you know, the way that shit happens with Iran and certain countries, they'll blame the fuck out of somebody else real quick. They'll be like, oh, it wasn't no crash. Israel did that shit or whatever. And then I'm just like, did they do it? I don't know. I'm scared. Okay. Good luck to everybody. Target to cut prices on 5,000 products and bid to lure cash-strapped customers.
Yeah, because... we ain't got it. People are like, broke by broke.
I think also everything at Target already costs more than Walmart.
It does.
Before the pandemic and before inflation, it already costs more. It was like, it's an extra little charge on everything.
5% high on everything.
It's just, and it's just to keep the wheels on the carts working. Keep the riffraff out of the lobby.
Right. Cars not sticking to each other, veering to the left.
I don't know why. I don't know why it works, but it does work. I don't know what it is about that extra little bit of money that makes a difference between Walmart people and Target people. We all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. If you live somewhere that's like in, it might not matter in it might not matter in New York or something. I don't know how it works. So if you don't have cars, but in cities with cars and parking lots, everyone will tell you, like, you go to the Walmart, different experience, a little sketchy. Police towers in the parking lot. And you go to Target, and it's motherfucking, you walk in, and it's like fresh roses.
Mm-hmm. And you ask for help, and they don't know, they'll put out a little thing in their hand and be like, do, 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 do. It is C53. You'll be like, oh, okay, thank you.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's, you go in there, and it's fucking the produce department, the vegetables are fresher, the fucking you go to where the meats and stuff is still, there's no wet juice just on the ground. It could be chicken, salmonella, I don't know.
Right.
There's, it never stinks in there. There's no, the buggies work, the people are that wear the red vest actually help you. They want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
they'll ask you, are you lost?
But I've always believed they've been overcharging us. But then in addition to that, a lot of this greed that corporate people are doing where they're just charging us more for shit is ridiculous. You know, like, you know, at this point, it's not an inflation thing. You know, people are just being charged more money.
Yes, because they can.
Yeah. So, yeah, they plan to slash 5,000 items, bread, coffee, diapers, and thousands of other everyday items this summer, joining other retailers looking to kickstart business by catering to inflation-weary customers. Conspiracy corner for a second.
Okay.
I normally don't dabble in these, but I think these companies don't want Trump back.
I can see that too.
That's my conspiracy.
Cause they like, ooh, child, he make everything worse.
This only helped Biden. Cause Trump and them main thing is the economy sucks, man. It don't matter if you making more money. It don't matter what the stats say. It don't matter what the employment numbers are. It fucking sucks. It does, like, and you need me back. It wasn't as bad under me. Now, did he do a lot of the stuff that, and unregulation and shit that is causing it to be bad? Sure. But y'all don't remember that. Y'all don't follow, y'all don't read the news, and y'all don't care. Y'all just feel bad today, and maybe if you change president, you'll feel good again, you know. And if you're afraid of the bigotry and the racism and all that shit, well, too bad. I'm here to help lower the prices for you. And I think the same thing happened with gas not too long ago. I feel like at some point, whether it's the Biden administration being like, okay, bitch, we about to start investigating y'all, or whether it's just the call came in and they said, guys, we stay on this path, it's just going to be Trump. And that's chaos.
Yeah, we already have people acting the fucking fool out of stores. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know, but it feel weird that multiple places are like, okay, guys, damn, lower the prices. It's getting close to election time.
You know what? And it's across the board. You right. Because all of a sudden, fast food, they're starting to drop some of them combos. They start to throw some of them specials. They're like, hey,
I saved some articles for Lip Smacking Good about that.
Okay, let's go, bitch. Because they was like, you go to McDonald's, and it's like, fucking two people, it's $35. You're like, goddamn, I could have had a restaurant for this.
Mm-hmm, child. Okay, don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
And had a drink, depending on where you went.
They talking about no free refills.
No free refills.
That's what they talking about, Karen. That's what they talking about.
Child.
Okay. Honey boo-boo. all right. Let's move into something else. What do you want to talk about? Let's see. You know what? Maybe we'll do some do some guess the race. I think I'll do guess the race. Oh, no. We'll do a little white people news first.
White people news. We're bringing excelling to the barbecue. We might be problematic or a little bit dim. That's so silly harsh on our fragile big skin. It's white people news.
Oh, the whites are whiting. Okay, and I'm not talking about the fish. Ben Affleck, Return of the Wedding Ring, is back as Jen, not that one, visits the pad. It's a lot going on. It's a lot going on, Karen. They think Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck is breaking up. They think they on the rocks. And first, Ben Affleck didn't show up to her movie premiere. And then he was riding around with no wedding ring for a little bit. And people seen him. They ain't been pictured together in 72 days. And then...
Damn, they got the countdown?
Yeah. Because, you know, paparazzi be on them. Every time they went out somewhere, it was showing them together. And they always make sure to take a picture of them talking to each other because Ben has resting bitch face. And they be like, look at them fighting again.
He just looked like he could always mad. He has that Russell Westbrook face.
Yeah. Anytime they motherfucking talking, they always put a caption like, they fighting. And it could be her being, who knows what the fuck is happening. But they always, and I think, you know, we're a misogynistic country and it makes people feel good to think a woman as beautiful as Jennifer Lopez is just a hassle to be around because she's so attractive and we all want her and we all whatever. And so now it's the... Yeah, but even that bitch is a bitch. You know, like, it's that vibe. And so everyone gets in on it. It's the same reason y'all hate Taylor Swift. It's the same reason people hate Beyonce. It's the same reason that people hate all these rich, famous, celebrity, attractive women. It's always like but secretly she's a bitch, right? It's like, so, like, you know, they've been doing this for months of they're unhappy. But now they have some actual, like, maybe they are unhappy situations happening, you know? Less than 24 hours earlier, Ben seemed to signal the end was near for their marriage as he did not have on his wedding ring on Friday, even while going to the kids' school play. While the ring returned, it seems it might have just slipped his mind on Friday because, of course, no one's interviewed him or talked to him.
Mm-mm.
We just got to assume, you know, how we know. we just got to take these pictures.
How would I know?
Right. This is more important than Simone Biles and her husband.
Apparently so. Top news.
See, look at this picture. They look like they're just talking, but his face look like they're fussing.
His face.
It always look like
yes,
that.
Yes, it does. It always look, no matter. He could be like, well, baby, you know, let me know, you know, what you want for dinner. She was like, yeah, I'm having time. He's like, all right. And they are at each other's necks.
And then Jennifer Garner, his ex, she was the one who stopped by Saturday for a visit. The exes have met up several times over the weekend for events involving their kids, Finn and Samuel. So,
I mean, they have kids together, people.
Yeah. So they're not saying it's fair or cheating. They're just saying, like, Jennifer Lopez didn't show up. The other Jennifer did. So that's what's going on over there. It's getting dicey for them. You know, it's kind of sad. Yeah, they haven't been photographed together for 47 days. I guess now it's probably up to 50 or so. So, you know, you hate to see it.
They're going to keep us abreast.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I want to know. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's going down in the white world. You know, this is what they care about. And it's important that we care.
Yeah, that we stay on top of what they care about.
Yeah. So, good luck to them, or whatever.
Good luck to you all, Ben and the Jens.
Mm-hmm. We want it to work out for Ben and the Jens. Let's see. Motley Crue singer Vince Neil falls on his face at New Jersey show. I wonder if J.L. Covan was there. Maybe Keith Malley. You know, they love this. Vince Neil fell head first at an Atlantic City concert, kicking off the band's highly anticipated return to the stage. And return to the floor, I guess. His face plant occurred minutes into the start of Too Young to Fall in Love, band's Dog of War tour, according to Ultimate Classic Rock. Neil 63 took a spill while prancing across the Hard Rock Cafe, Hard Rock Live, I'm sorry, at Edis Arena's stage while performing a 1987 tune, Wild Side. He reportedly bounced back quickly and didn't miss a beat before continuing the weekend performance.
Child, I know he was hurting the next day.
Right?
Because that I've had that happen before. With that adrenaline, you be like, I got it. And then the next day, you be like, God damn.
Yeah, 63, man. Don't Woo. Matter if you're rock and roll or not. 63 is still 63.
Chad, I fell down before. I was like, God damn. And like days later, my body was like, you know what? Bitch, that hurt.
Right. So it's, you know, he's back in action Friday night, reportedly performing a 14-song set. So I guess he was okay, you know. He worked it out enough. He took a tumble in 2021 in a solo show that sent him to the Tennessee hospital with broken ribs.
God damn, is anybody, you know what, sir? You can perform, but you need to stop this bullshitting, sir. Like, you know, you can't be out here fucking two-stepping and bopping and shit.
Well, that's because you don't know how to rock, Karen.
Apparently, I don't know.
Okay. That's what the problem is. You don't know nothing about no rocking. Right.
Like, you fucking up the money, sir. They're going to sit. They don't care if you move or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kelly Rowland appears to scold a security guard at Cannes Film Festival.
What does security guard do?
Must have asked her about Beyonce.
He did something, Gene. Like,
oh, shit. Oh, hold on. I hit the wrong button.
On I'll that be right pad. Back.
No, I did something else. Let me pause this. Okay. All right. So, yeah, Kelly Rowland, I'm guessing, I know she was at the festival. I don't know what she was promoting exactly, but, you know, celebrities go to these film festivals all the time. Whatever the security guard did, who was a woman, Kelly looked like she ain't like it. So there's a security guard maybe putting her hand up, keeping somebody, you know, being between her and this dude, I don't know. And then Kelly turned back and waved at people, looking beautiful as always. And then Kelly did something happened, and you can see right here in this picture, if you zoom in, boom! That's where she had her fucked up.
Woo! Something got said, something happened, she didn't like something, because
yeah.
She turned around, and the words that come out of her mouth was like directly at that person, and was like, hey!
That is the face of you got me fucked up right there. Then in this one, this is where Kelly let her know she exactly where she had her fucked up. Because she put that finger in the air like, no, did you shut the fuck up or whatever. I don't know if the woman was like, okay, that's enough waving, or we got to get the next guy. I don't know what happened.
Oh, and she was like, oh, you ain't going to tell me what to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, she called,
I don't know.
I am the celebrity, bitch.
She said, so what you think about Cowboy Carter? And then she just said, oh, I got your cowboy, buckaroo. And then this one right here was, don't you fucking touch me either, bitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she did something. I don't know what she did or what she said, but she was not happy. It's a hold on. Wait a minute.
Yeah. That
You got the wrong one.
That finger is, we'll be done with me cussing you out when I'm done with me cussing you out.
Yeah, and also that might be somebody has lost their job. Like, you might not see this person close to her no more.
Shout out to that white lady who's getting her photo on downstairs.
And Chad, she was like, I ain't got nothing to do with that.
Yeah. And then this was Kelly letting her know at the end, like, and you absolutely had me fucked up. And just in case you thought that you didn't have me fucked up, I would like to remind you, now that I'm almost in the building, you had me fucked up. And then this last one, I think, is really for everyone else, because they like, who had you fucked up? And that's her saying, her right there. She had me fucked up, y'all. Yeah. And it looks like Gwyneth Paltrow. Down here to the bottom right, don't that look like Gwyneth?
It might be.
I know you don't know white people, but mm-mm. that look like Gwyneth to me. I don't know.
It do. That's that particular that closer one. But no,
it's not saying it's her though. I don't see anything.
Yeah, not saying it, but yeah it looked like it looked like they was probably doing like a red carpet stair thingy, and I don't know if she rushed her or like it sounded like she may have rushed her or told her to move on, her time was up or something. She was like, hey, what you not gonna do is rush me, what you not gonna do is yell at me.
I just appreciate her saying, you got me fucked up and there's nothing nobody can do about it.
Nothing.
You just got to take that. Okay. Let's see. We'll do one more. Sarah Jessica Parker.
I know who that is.
These white people and their names are so hard. Like, name your kids something normal, white people. Jesus Christ. How the fuck am I supposed to pronounce this shit? Sarah Jessica Parker goes sheer while filming and just like that. If her bra isn't showing, she isn't living.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, freedom.
She got to get them titties out there for us, guys.
They used to do that thing where, you know, they would constantly their nipples would be out. That literally used to be a thing. Y'all going to get these nipples out. I guess we're going to get them then, dog.
Yeah, I don't know if she's a nipple person, though. She's a bra person. She's a cleavage person, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She's like, y'all going to get these titties.
Yeah, y'all can get them strapped up, but you going to get them.
Yeah. She couldn't help but poke fun at her character's well-documented love of peekaboo lingerie. So I don't know what this scene is, if they're filming this for the movie or promo or what. I'm guessing some sort of promo for the movie. There's roses in the lingerie of it.
It's pretty.
If her bra isn't showing, she isn't living. One commented on every outfit from Sex and the City's Instagram post. One thing Carrie gonna do is show us the bra and show that bra. Fans far prefer the see-through style over the polarizing gingham bonnet Parker wore to shoot scenes the day prior, which drew comparison to Holly Hobby, Strawberry Shortcake, and Little Miss Muffet on social media. Well, they aren't showing those. They just showing her posing with these titties. I don't know what that look is. Sis, yeah, you definitely got the strawberry shortcake looking it right there.
It does.
They did a little too much with the hat, I think.
Yes. The dress is cute, but yeah, the hat, mm-mm.
She's not pulling the hat off. Mm-mm. And
I don't know what the hat needed, but yeah, that's not the
it's
hat.
It's not even the same really pattern as the dress or nothing. Mm-mm. It's just like, yeah, I'm not fucking with it. It's definitely giving Polly Pocket.
I don't.
Yeah, not a fan. What kind of Cabbage Patch Doll shit y'all think y'all got going on?
Right, as a grown ass woman.
Like, we don't want to see that. The hell? And I think that's it for white people news. Let's see if we can get into some guess the race, and then we'll wrap this thing up as soon as I put my guess the race music.
It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race.
Oh, there's Walmart people and there's Target people. A greeter got beat in a Walmart receipt beef, cops say. An elderly Walmart greeter suffered injuries to his face and head after being punched in the eye by a North Carolina man whose girlfriend was angry that she was asked to show her receipt. Vincent Battaglia, 68, told cops that he was checking receipts yesterday. He's the greeter. We're not guessing his race.
Yeah, I thought a lot of Walmarts, they had got rid of a lot of those positions, didn't they?
I don't go to Walmart, Karen. I'm not a Walmart person, so okay. I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you and your people go there, and maybe you should be telling us, because those of us that go to Target, we don't mess around with that type of nonsense.
Greeter? Yeah. What's a greeter? Huh?
Okay, at Target, everyone greets you. because that's true. That's what we believe in, okay? That's how we get down. But, you know, for you and yours, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, it's
I tell my mom, I'll never be like any of those Negroes.
I see what kind of household this is.
So the greeter said he was confronted by the man who was upset that he had stopped his girlfriend earlier at the exit. He advised he was just doing his job. That is when Tomisha Robbs, 28, allegedly began yelling at her boyfriend to take care of him. In response to the Golden, we are guessing their race, and they're both the same race. Trevon Wadden, 27, punched the elderly victim in his left eye, which caused him to fall to the ground and strike his head. They fled the store without offering aid to the victim, who had injuries to his face and head. Well, I mean, if once you punch a nigga in the eye, you can't really just be like, oh man, are you okay, buddy? I didn't mean to do exactly what the fuck I thought would happen when you punch a 68-year-old.
Right? You don't think they're gonna fall?
Investigators who are familiar with Robs and Wyden from previous calls. Oh.
Previous calls?
Oh, you don't want to be one of the previous Leons.
You they look up on the wall. You on the list.
You don't want
to. Do not serve these people.
Let me tell you what you don't want to be with the cops. A previously on this episode.
Any type list.
Of, right. Previously on the police station.
No.
But yeah, they were familiar with him from previous calls. They arrested the pair at a High Point residence, which is a few miles from Walmart. Yeah, they are. They was like, yeah, they over at the High Point. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
they even knew where they live because guess what? You was previously on.
Yeah, you talking about 127 First Street? Yeah, we'd be over there in a second. Mm-hmm. Robs and Wyden were each charged with misdemeanor assault, while Wyden was also cited for failure to appear in court in connection with a separate criminal matter. The court records describe Robs as unemployed, while the 240-pound Wyden is identified as a cook for East Coast Wings and Grill.
Oh, shit. East Coast Wings and Grills.
I bet they wings is good, though.
I bet you they fire.
If he cooking them, listen, I like a little bit of felonious assault with my wings. I find it make it go better, you know? Everybody know you want the uncle on the grill that got a checkered pass. We all know that. Anyway, guess the race of Tomisha Robs and Trevon Wyden.
Oh, black.
All right, let's check the chat room. See what they believe the race of these two Walmart people are. Giving out Walmart greeter beaters. Greetings and beatings. That's the thing. Right. Over at Walmart is greetings and beatings.
Apparently so.
Just like the alarm said when they went in. Black, black, wop, 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 wop. Previously on, do they stuff. too many dead giveaways, hard ERs, black, hard shopping Negroes, the blacks. All right. Let's just say Amber Rose would be very disappointed with the way these people probably vote. The correct answer is black.
And that wing place sound pretty good. Looked it up. I think we got one here in Charlotte.
We do.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know if the people in there got felonies on the grill. I hope they do. But
oh, that's true. We don't know.
We just gotta. It's like, you know. I don't know if they season it with the blood of the elderly and innocent. I don't know. Anyway, that's them. That is them. Hopefully, they're gonna get married. Cute couple. That's also like a nightmare. I don't think I would ever date a, you know. Handle this for me, ass woman. Mm. Like, you start some shit, now I gotta beat somebody up, or I gotta catch a charge.
Chad, I know it's a running joke, but you, Chad, you ain't gotta worry about me.
Cause mm-mm. You know in the car, they gonna definitely, if you don't do nothing, she gonna definitely be like, see, you a bitch.
Mm-mm.
You let that man ask me for a receipt.
I would not dare put that pressure on you. For why? For what? For who?
I mean, I'd rather just listen to her complain that it was racist, and we both like, yeah, I think it might have been racist.
All the way home, right.
Then to be like, well, I'm going to jail tonight.
Yeah, Chad. Ain't about trying to get no unnecessary bail money.
A man takes a bite out of crime. A man fueled by an extensive cocktail of party drugs attacked a cop at a music festival and bit a large chunk out of the officer's head, exposing the victim's skull bone.
God damn, Wolverine, what is you doing? Ooh.
Responding late Sunday to a disturbance at Soul Fest Music and Arts Festival in Ponce de Leon, Florida, police encountered James Michael Anderson, 35, who reportedly admitted using LSD, ketamine, mushrooms, ecstasy, and PCP that evening.
Apparently, it gives you mutant powers. He beat him to the white meat of his head.
That's what they used in the Weapon X program.
Apparently so.
Investigators allege that the 6'1", 280-pound Anderson, who was volunteering at the festival, attacked a male cop from behind and tried to dislodge his forearm from his firearm from his holster. It was during that confrontation when Anderson bit the deputy and removed a large portion of flesh, exposing the victim's skull bone. Anderson was subsequently transported to a local hospital where he reportedly admitted to biting the deputy and complained that he had hair in his teeth.
Yes, of course.
It's one of the reasons I don't bite people's skulls.
Yeah, you're going to be flossing that shit out for days.
You know? Anderson cops noted also moaned that police were at the music festival making drug crime arrests. Y'all only did this to make the Baptists happy, he declared. Oh, the Baptists. He got them there.
Not because sound like you were being disturbed. Sound like I think they was right by arresting you.
No, Karen, this is Big Baptist at work.
Mm-mm. Other people was high, not bothering nobody but you.
He was minding his business on LSD, ketamine, mushrooms, ecstasy, and PCP. And come the cops doing the work.
He was on
the
whole ass cocktail.
Here go the cops doing the bidding of Big Baptist. Arresting people for minding their own drug using business.
Child, what did they have? Were you looking at the drug selection like, yeah, go ahead and give me the tornado, throw everything in there. I'm like, goddamn.
I think he just said, I want the sampler.
Yes, I want the flight. Give me the flight.
Right. I would like the drug flight, please.
Yes. Whatever the drug flight, please. One of everything.
One of each drug, please. He's charged with two felonies, aggravated battery on a law enforcement officer and resisting an officer with violence. Locked up in county jail, he's scheduled for a June 5th arraignment. He lives in Westville, a Florida panhandle town near the music festival grounds. The officer was beaten and was treated for his injuries and later released. Prosecutors have filed a motion seeking court order test to determine whether the alleged biting could expose him to various blood pathogens.
Right.
Honestly, I think this is the origin story of Drug Man, who's going to be the next Marvel superhero.
Yes.
Bitten by a radioactive addict, and then now he got all the powers of drugs, which is not very good at being a hero, but he's high as shit, you know? with great high comes sleep.
Apparently so. All right, comes Karen. No responsibility.
Right. Comes irresponsibility.
Right.
With great power comes a lot of irresponsibility. Karen, guess the race.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Bleach blonde, big Baptist white. Three first names white. This sounds like how you become a feral ghoul in Fallout white. White. The correct answer is Soul Fest got me thinking black. Okay. Well, would it help if I told you to spell S-O-L, Soul Fest, not like Sun Fest, not S-O-U-L, like Soul. White jaw titan. The correct answer is white. One person was thinking black. I'm going to give him a boo.
Ooh, child,
you know he's not black too, because he was against Big Baptist. You know, that's our
what
main
did Big
denomination.
Baptist do to him?
That's our main denomination down here. We would have been on their side. All right, Karen is 2-for-2, which Woo! Means you got to go to the bonus round.
That's a bitch was white.
I'm racist. How can I be racist about anybody or anything in my life? How can I?
Call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
It's time to get the race. Gold chain wearing, fried chicken and biscuit eating monkey, eight baboon, big thigh, fast running, high jumping, spear chucking, 360 degree basketball.
And a Florida man was arrested after he was found hiding in a remarkably small dryer. And the dryer had a glass door, so not the smartest. Not the smartest hiding place.
They put no clothes on, but you couldn't. Shit, since you can see straight through it.
At least he knows how to fold.
Apparently so.
In an attempt to hide from police, a wanted Florida man folded himself into a small front-loading dryer, a feat of audacity and pliability that was eventually thwarted. David Jackson, 31, was being sought by cops on felony assault and weapons charges when investigators received a tip that Jackson was inside a Pensacola residence. During a search Friday at the residence, deputies discovered him hiding inside the laundry room inside a remarkably small dryer drum. He was wearing a purple Star Wars t-shirt, and he was pulled from the appliance and arrested, and the shirt had no wrinkles. He put himself in there with some fabric softener and came out smelling downy fresh.
Right, wrinkle free.
Right. The cops really hung him out to dry on this one. Yes, they did. Yeah, they asked him how he got in there. He said he took a tumble.
That's hilarious.
He is locked up in lieu of $120,000 bond. What the fuck did he do? What is he charged with? Let's see. He's facing felony and misdemeanor narcotics charges. He was found earlier this year hiding inside a dryer in the kitchen of a Louisiana home. So he like the dryer bandit. This is his place to hide.
This is his jam. They getting it well. Dryer. He got it. That's his spot. His calling card, the dryer.
They knew exactly what to do. They was like, check the washing machine. And then like, oh, okay.
Wherever the washing and dryer is, we know he there.
He's not in the washing machine. He's definitely in the dryer. You know. All right, Karen, guess the race of Mr. David Jackson.
David Jackson, mm-hmm. I'm going to go white.
All right, Karen's going white. I think his race is dry clean only. You know, that's the ironic part. Let's see what the... Okay. You okay? You look like you're trying to think over there or something.
Yes, I was thinking about the last name, Jackson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking about some things. I think I'm going to change my mind. And if I'm wrong, I'll take this L. I'm going to change it to black.
Karen's going black. All right. Mm-hmm. I have to move out of Florida. That's not, okay. That's not a guess.
I have to move out of Florida. Oh, dang.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Feels like this is a brother. The bond amount equals black. Black. David Wrinkle-Free Jackson is black. Wrinkle-Free. Black man missing one sock somehow. All Jacksons is niggas. He gonna pay equal black. Action Jackson, he's black, son. The correct answer is black. You got it right, Karen.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh yeah, because I thought about some. I was like, that's a high ass bond,
right?
But I kept saying he got a Star Wars shirt. But I was like, niggas like Star Wars too. Like it was a thing that I was like, the Jackson. I was like, I don't really know. I mean, it's white Jacksons, but you know, that's normally a black name. So I just went through that in my head and got back to black.
Okay, yeah, nah, that's quite a load of thinking that you did. All right, let's move on from this cycle. It's time to do some sword ratchetness. Surprised they didn't get him for money laundering.
That's a good one.
As y'all can tell from these jokes, I'm the only one that does this around the house. Man injured in sword attack.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing. Nothing. I don't want no static. A man.
You don't want to get hung out to dry.
I said that one first, and no, you can't have credit. Man injured in sword attack. Thanks emergency services for saving his life. That's right. I am abusive. That girl was right. I didn't laugh at her joke because I said it 5 minutes ago. Damn, she got me, y'all. After 20 years of marriage. Fuck, I've been
exposed.
That
was finally right.
I should have laughed at that and played the sound.
Right. Should have went extra hard.
Yeah. Now she's out there. I told you, niggas. He's Puff Daddy. A man injured in a sword attack in East London has thanked emergency services and his family for saving his life. Henry De Los Rios Polonia, 35, an IT engineer from Hainault, is currently in the hospital after being stabbed in his home on Tuesday morning. Mr. De Los Rios Polonia was described by his sister, Jessica De Los Rios, 31, as a hero for protecting his family from the assailant. He has since shared a photo of social media from his hospital bed with a message thanking those who saved his life. I would like to start by thanking all the nurses, paramedics, and doctors of the NHS for keeping me alive, he said in a post to Instagram stories after sending gratitude to the police for risking their lives. He also thanked friends and family and all those who made sure he did not bleed out. He has a long journey ahead of him. He's a dual Spanish Brazilian national living in Newham, East London. I guess the person that stabbed him, Marcus Arduini Manzo, 36, is a dual Spanish-Brazilian national living in Newham, East London. He appeared in court accused of murdering Daniel Anjorin as he was walking to school on Tuesday, injuring four other people. Mr. De Los Rios previously told the PA news agency that her brother was, recovering in a hospital after sustaining a deep wound to his hand. So I guess, was this the person that attacked all those people and this was someone that got, like, hurt but not killed? Because I know that boy got killed.
Mm-hmm, man, I jumped in like, hey, and ended up getting fucked up.
Yeah, because they're not even saying what the attack motivation was or...
But apparently this person was not.
I don't know.
I'm assuming not the targeted person, but you don't know.
It doesn't make sense. He was stabbed in his home. The other person, I thought they were stabbed in the street walking to school. I don't know what the fuck this is about. So I don't, let me Google Marcus Arduini Manzo, see if he that dude. Because this story is kind of all over the place to me.
Probably the way it's written.
Instagram. He is a white man. Oh, okay. Right. He is not white. He's brown. Brazilians are not white. Da-da-da. So he's a Brazilian person. Suspect in London sword attack. So it is that dude. It is that dude.
Damn.
And then Instagram, they arguing about how Brazilian is not white, so they don't want people describing him as white, even though he was racist and stabbed a black kid to death, apparently. At any rate, that's what they're speculating on Instagram. I don't know if those are facts. That's it for today's episode. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. We appreciate y'all. Shout out to all the Just the Tippers. Sorry that we had to end that program, but once again, we'll have some exciting news to announce eventually. Hopefully coming up very soon here. And until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.